This is Susie Larson. I want to thank you today for downloading this podcast from Live the Promise. I do hope you enjoy it. Thanks also for your continued support of Faith Radio. I want you to know you can donate anytime by clicking on the Support Faith Radio tab. Have a great afternoon, and God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm so glad you tuned in because we've got a great show ahead. I'm Susie Larson along with Tim Marks on the board and Derek on the phones, and this is Live the Promise. We are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Well, we've got a great show ahead for you today. We're talking about my favorite topic of all, and that is prayer. You've heard it said before, no prayer, no power, more prayer, more power. Well, I'll tell you what, it is absolutely true. I posted a question on Facebook today, and my question is for you too, and the phone lines are going to be open right away. Here's my question. What is your most significant answer to prayer from this past year? You can find my Facebook page by going to facebook.com/deeperlifeinchrist, facebook.com/deeperlifeinchrist, or give us a call at 1-877-933-2484. Well, last fall, I worked the Women of Faith conference at our KTIS booth, and the station gave me this badge, which gave me access and allowed me to walk right by the throng of people to go right to my booth and hand out brochures and things. And I'm telling you what, I love that badge. I didn't really want to part with it at the end of the conference because I felt, I don't know, so important wearing that thing. And the afternoon session was ending and the stadium cleared out except for those of us with access badges and you know, the janitors and different people. And then there was me with my access badge. But the place was empty. And all of a sudden I hear on the stage down in the auditorium, these guys jamming and playing music. And two of my three sons are musicians. So I have an appreciation for young guys who know how to jam. And so I peeked and squinted my eyes and I see these young guys on the stage picking their guitars and pounding on the drums. And I thought to myself, wow, I wonder how they got their access badges. Maybe their mom and dad, you know, work for the conference. Well, then they all tie in and they start playing the Stephen Curtis song, I'm Diving In, and it was tight and it was good. So I squinted my eyes and looked a little closer, and, well, it was Stephen Curtis Chapman. He was warming up, and so I don't think he needed an access badge. But truly, honestly, I drove home thinking that day that we have access to God 24/7. We don't have to know someone who knows someone. We don't have to get in line and take a number. God has given us access to him any time of the day. The most powerful force of the universe has made himself available to us. Ephesians 3:12 says, because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. Isn't that amazing? Hebrews 4:16 says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and find grace to help us when we need it most. Since that's true, I have to ask, why don't we pray more? I want to know. And plus, I want to know, how has God met you in this past year? Give me a call, 1-877-933-2484, or post on my Facebook and tell me what's God doing in your life. I'm going to bring my guest on in just a moment, but you got to hear this quote from E.M. Bounds. God is always within call, it is true. His ear is ever attentive to the cry of his child. But we can never get to know him if we use the vehicle of prayer as we use the telephone for a few words of hurried conversation. Intimacy requires development. We can never know God, as it is our privilege to know him by brief repetitions that are requests for personal favors and nothing more. Listen to this. That is not the way in which we can come into communication with heaven's King. I am excited about this topic today. As I said, prayer is probably my most favorite thing. And joining me today to talk about what it means to live a praying life is my friend Jennifer Kennedy Dean. I'm going to give you her bio and we're going to get her on the show. Jennifer Kennedy Dean is executive director of the Praying Life Foundation and a respected author and speaker. Jennifer is the author of such books as Pursuing the Christ, Heart's Cry, Life Unhindered, The Life-Changing Power in the Name of Jesus, Set Apart, and Secrets Jesus Shared. She is in demand as a speaker and has spoken in such venues as the Billy Graham Training Center at the Cove and Focus on the Family. Widely recognized as an unusually gifted communicator, which I can attest to, very, very true, communicator of the deep truths of God, Jennifer's a board member for the Advanced Writers and Speakers Association. That's a group that I'm a part of as well. And she's a member of America's National Prayer Committee. Jennifer was widowed in 2005 after 26 years of marriage to Wayne Dean, her partner in both life and ministry. They have three grown sons, and Jennifer makes her home in Marion, Kentucky, Welcome to the show, Jennifer. We're so honored to have you today.
Oh, Susie, I'm so glad to be with you today.
Well, I've been telling everybody, wait till you hear Jennifer. You're going to love this show. No pressure, but this better be good. No, I'm teasing you. No, I love it. When I was at the ASA conference, I think it was a couple years ago, 2-3 years ago, you taught, and I was riveted. And God's really deposited some great things in you. And we like to begin each show with scripture chosen by our guest. And you chose Jeremiah 24:7. I'd love to read it and just have you speak into it and comment on it. Jeremiah 24:7, and I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with all their heart.
You know, Susie, the thing I love about that scripture is it begins to give us this stunning reality that God says, I am taking all the responsibility on me. All I need you to do is respond. I will give you a heart to know me. And you know, sometimes we think of prayer, that way of opening that channel of communication, we think of it as such a hard job and something that we must work hard and get right so we can accomplish. And God says, all I need from you is the response. And so that's why I love that verse, is because prayer is a restful place once you understand what it is. It is God reaching out to you, stirring you toward a relationship with him. The fact that you have an inclination to pray, even if your inclination is just maybe possibly in the farthest realms of possibility, prayer might work, even if that's the best you've got. You've only got that because God is saying, I have given you a heart to know me.
And I love that the word says he delights in every detail of our lives. And, you know, I say this all the time, but when it becomes an ought to or a should do, we've just lost sight of who God is, because it is a get to. He draws us to himself, doesn't he?
Exactly, exactly. And Susie, don't you think that is one of the enemy's best ploys, is to make it seem like it's all very hard and burdensome?
Yes, and boring and
yes.
Thankless. And there's so much more to it once you kind of tap in to the reality of who God is and what we can know in him. Boy,
yes. There's
nothing like it. Maybe you've got a question for Jennifer about prayer or something in Scripture that you wonder about. She's a great Bible teacher. Give us a call, 1-877-933-2484. Again, or you can go to facebook.com/deeperlifeinchrist. Okay, so another thing we'd like to ask our guests, just to help them to get to know you a little bit, is tell us how you came to the Lord. And if you were raised in a Christian home, when did that faith become your own?
Yeah. You know, I was raised in a Christian home, and my parents were so authentically what they claimed to be. I came to Christ, and it was a very real experience as a very young child. But during my teenage years, though I didn't wander away from God, I certainly wandered away from how I thought I had to live. And I was a 20-year-old college student when it really occurred to me that this is not something that you just dabble. And I had a convergence of crises in my life at that moment. My one and only brother had leukemia. Prayer, 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 yet he died anyway. And about the time he died, I discovered myself to be pregnant and unmarried. So a convergence of crises caused me to have to move away from faith in my parents' faith to dig out my own understanding and faith. And that convergence of crises in my life was such a turning point where I began to say, all right, I need to understand how this works. And it was the beginning of everything.
Wow. So would you say at that same time is when your passion for prayer developed as well?
Exactly. And, you know, really, I found that when I completely turned my focus to the Lord and cried out to him, whatever you want from me, here I am. I found then at that moment that I had been infected with a passion, that my mother's passion for prayer had just been passed on to me, and there it was. And I just somehow understood, this is what I've got to get. And I'm a left brain person. Part A has to fit into part B. It has to all make sense. And to my great delight, as I began to explore the depths of prayer, throw away all the bumper stickers and t-shirts, and dig into the scripture, I realized that I really was in relationship with a God whose invitation is, come, let us reason together. And he began to put those pieces of prayer back together for me so that they began to make sense to my little left brain mind.
That's excellent. Well, in this study, you actually make a distinction between a praying life and a prayer life. Could you maybe describe that difference for us?
Yeah, that was the first thing as I began to really wrestle with, okay, here was my question. What makes prayer work the way the Scripture says it's going to work? And so early in that pursuit, the Lord began to just kind of drop this phrase into my mind almost 40 years ago, praying life, not a prayer life, not sandwiching words between dear God and amen and trying to get them in the right order. Not, I have a home life, I have a work life, I have a leisure life, I have a prayer life. Not like that. That's not how the Scripture in its totality presents prayer. Not a prayer life, a praying life. An undercurrent of prayer, always active in the life of a believer, sometimes articulated in words and sentences, and sometimes not. But always there, heard perfectly by the ears of the Father.
Oh, that's beautiful. We've got a caller from Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. I think it's Renee, but I have a feeling you've got a story to share with me about your prayer life, your praying life. Give me a call at 1-877-933-2484. We're talking to Bible study teacher and author Jennifer Kennedy Dean. So, Renee, is it Fond du Lac, Wisconsin?
Yes.
Hey,
yes,
thank
Fond
du Lac. You. Thanks so much for joining the show. What's your question today?
Hi, thank you. I guess I was wondering, kind of along that same lines, how do you develop a praying life with the Lord so that it's not like an agreement, you know, if I do this, then I'll receive that, or if I haven't prayed, then I've screwed up, and so now, therefore, I don't want to talk to him.
Yes,
as if he doesn't know what I've already done.
Renee, that's such an honest and fabulous question, and I know that's what everybody else is wondering about too, because it starts to feel reciprocated, you know, quid pro quo. If I do this, you do that, and so Renee, I want you to hang on, try to listen in if you can for Jennifer's answer.
I love that question, Renee. I'm so glad that you called in and asked it, because here's the first thing it tells you. Let me explain to you the way I want you to start thinking about prayer. Don't think about prayer as just what goes between dear God and amen. So think about prayer as an ongoing relationship, interchange between you and the Father. It's going on all the time. And God has put prayer into the mix as the force that moves all of his power and provision out of the heavenly realms through the gap and into the circumstances of earth. Now, you have an enemy in the spiritual realm who gets that. So he targets prayer. He wants to make the people of God feel, he wants them to believe that, number one, prayer is really hard. Only the most spiritual among us can really get it right. The rest of you might as well just give up and do some other religious activity. Or He gives you this indication of who the Father is, just as he did in those early days to Adam and Eve, that he's waiting for you to mess up. And boy, if you do, like if you didn't pray on time today or long enough, or if you didn't sandwich words together in prayers today, God is mad at you. And so if you were to turn your heart toward his presence, you would find scolding and shaming, and so of course you don't want to turn to God. Of course you want to keep your mind on other good things so that you won't have to experience that. But that is so opposite of what the Father is telling you. He's not grading you on prayer. He is just simply calling you, and as you come to understand a praying life, you're going to realize that you've been praying even when you haven't been defining it as prayer.
That's so good.
Yeah, so if you really dig into what the Scripture says, you're going to be able to remove all that heaviness of shame and feeling like a failure at prayer, and oh, the enemy then will be so defeated.
Proverbs 9:10 says, knowing the Holy One results in understanding. And when we know him to be a God of love who's crazy in love with us, we won't feel the need to edit ourselves before we get there. As Renee said, he already knows anyway, and we would never ask that of our children, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
We have Linda waiting on the line, but we need to take a short break. So, Linda, hang in there. We'll get to your call on the other side of the break. You're listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson, and our guest today is Jennifer Kennedy Dean, author of The Praying Life. You can reach us by calling 1-877-93-FAITH. That's 1-877-933-2484. Or you can go online at faithradionet.com. We'll be back in just a moment.
The long days of summer present the perfect opportunity for new experiences. This year, it can be the time you expand your potential and reach your goals. With Northwestern College's Focused Degree Completion Program, you can start finishing your undergraduate degree in June. Northwestern offers flexible and practical programs in business, psychology, communication, and more, designed to give you outstanding value for your time and investment. Visit nwc.edu. Northwestern College in St. Paul. Light the way.
This is my prayer, lifted to you, knowing you care even more than I do.
We are back, and you're listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson, and our special guest today is Jennifer Kennedy Dean. We're talking about the praying life and what it means to always be in an attitude of prayer. So we've got a call, Linda from Woodbury, and she's got a most significant prayer. Linda, thank you so much for joining the show today.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I was just going to say that when I learned how to pray scripture, that made a huge difference in my life. And I think I first learned that in my Moms in Touch prayer group, where we actually take scripture and we pray it back to God, and we know we're praying in his will, and we know we're praying exactly what he would want us to pray. So, like, say you want your child to shine for Jesus at school, you can use the verse from Philippians that says that we would shine like stars in a dark place. And also, right before I would sing a solo in church, I would pray, Lord, you did not give me a spirit of fear and timidity, but you've given me a sound mind and self-control, and I can do this, you know. And so praying back scripture to God just, to me, has been wonderful.
Linda, I have to say I agree with you. Everything changed for me when I got a hold of that concept. Go ahead, Jennifer. I want you to speak into that.
Yeah, okay. First, love, Moms in Touch, Burn Nichols, love you.
Yeah.
And you do, the thing about Moms in Touch is that you do learn how to put prayer into practice together. And praying scripture, it's not because you're quoting back to God what he has already said. You are doing that. But here's what's really happening. Here's the dynamic. The God of that word is speaking it in a living and present voice into your heart. He's activating what you have put on deposit because you have marinated your life in his word. He's activating that in you, and it is coming out of you as prayer. You see, and sometimes people ask me about that. They go, well, why pray scripture? Because that's what God already said. It's you have to get the whole dynamic of prayer. You have to understand that what is happening at that moment is not that you're saying some words that you memorized that were once spoken in the past. What's happening in that moment is the present tense living God is speaking his living word into your heart, stirring it up so that it feels like prayer and coming out of your mouth with the assignment God has given it to do.
It's a living and active word, and I think there's something so powerful about that. We've got Jenny from Oregon, Wisconsin, and she's got a comment for you.
I guess I just have a question, or stating an excuse, maybe. I am a first-time mom. I have an 18-month-old little guy, and I just find that I just don't have enough time in the day. I'm just so busy. Do you have any suggestions or help?
Yes, I had three little boys within 5 years of each other. So here a couple of things I want to say to you. First of all, you are praying. That's what I'm saying. There is an undercurrent of prayer that is continually active in you. When you say, I have time to get into the Word a little bit, sometimes we think of that as something separate from prayer. Like, I got into the Word, but then I didn't have time to pray. Oh, no, that was a whole prayer transaction going on right then. And remember that the time of little children is a season, and it will not last forever. There will be a time when your time is more your own, and you'll be able to schedule times of devoted prayer. But right now, grab the little snatches that God gives you and understand that you are praying. Everything you do is a praying life. Sometimes prayer is acted out in obedience. Sometimes it is just a flowing thing that's going on all day long. God is not grading the amount of time you sat in a chair with your eyes closed. That is not the only thing that counts as prayer.
And he leads gently those with young. Jenny, you know one thing that helped me? I also had 3 boys in 4 years, and it's a physical life. But I remember, you know, and I was battling a terrible disease at the time, too. And I remember I came into the marriage with this active walk of faith. And all of a sudden, my world was turned upside down with a disease and 3 little babies. And I would give him my little morsel of 10 minutes. And I said, Lord, this is a tithe of the time. I'm giving you this tiny little bit, asking you to multiply it and give me a loaves and fishes miracle. Will you multiply? I'll show up. But would you make a way where there seems to be no way? And I'm telling you what, God parted the waters and he made time. And there were times in those seasons where God was giving me a whole hour to camp in his presence, but it really was almost a supernatural answer to prayer. So I always tell young moms, be gritty in your faith. Be graceful to yourself, but don't just assume because you're in the stage that write off any chance of spending time with God. If you just tuned in, we are so thankful you joined us. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We're talking to Jennifer Kennedy Dean about her great new Bible study, Live a Praying Life, Open Your Life to God's Power and Provision. And this quote is from your book, Jennifer. A praying life cannot be scheduled. It has to flow. Yet specific times of uninterrupted prayer must be scheduled. Disciplined times of prayer merge into and become part of the praying life. And when I read that, it made me think of people who say, well, I don't have quantity time with my kids, that therefore I pursue quality time. And I've always said you can't really land upon quality unless you have quantity. So you've got to show up, right?
Exactly. You can't say, okay, we have a 10-minute window here. Let's have quality time.
And it's going to be fun and perfect and great. Everybody get along.
but you know, you have to find a balance between those two things. And the more you live a praying life, the more that time of devoted prayer, of disciplined times of prayer, becomes attractive to you. It's a restful thing instead of something else you're trying to work into your schedule. But you also can't think of that the only time you're praying is when you're sitting there and saying prayers as we know them. A praying life is going on all the time, but it is essential that it is fed and undergirded by daily times of consistent prayer. And I love that too, that quality time is not something that you can schedule.
Right.
You have to all, it's just like, and Susie, you're the mother of 3 boys, I'm the mother of 3 boys. Here's the news about boys, they don't share. They don't share unless the moment comes that they have decided that they need to share. Mm-hmm. And so you just have to be there on their moment. And that's just such a good illustration. That's the way it is. A praying life, you're going to have the quality time is going to come out of because there is quantity time.
And then that scripture of, you know, praying without ceasing becomes a delight because it's your inhale and your exhale. And
exactly.
I want every listener to grab hold of this because I know it's revolutionized your life and it has mine as well. We've got a call, Ann from Grand Forks, North Dakota, and she's got a significant prayer testimony. Ann, thank you so much for joining the show today.
Yes, hello, and thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. Let's hear your story.
This was an occasion that just really delighted my heart as a mom. Over the years, I've really come to know how God can answer prayer and strength and how he blesses our lives and how he works through us in the lives of others. And I've really striven over time to help my children to learn those concepts and help to learn about our glorious God and how he answers prayers. And several weeks ago, it was actually about 2 weeks before the beginning of the school year, my 12-year-old son was out playing, enjoying the final days of summer. He was on his skateboard, did not have his safety helmet on, as we usually advise him to use, and he experienced a real hard fall, hit his heart, his head, in a real hard fashion on the concrete. Came running into the house, and I could see on his face that there was just a real tremendous pain. He was feeling weak. I quickly got him into a chair and got ice on his head, iced it down. And it's seemed like on the surface that the injury was manageable, but over the course of about an hour, he started to experience symptoms of nausea. And knowing the little I do about it, I was immediately concerned that that meant that there might be a concussion that had occurred to the brain. And over the course of time, that was indeed the case. He wasn't sufficiently impacted enough to go into the hospital, but the doctors advised that that kind of nausea, waves of nausea that would come and go, could continue over weeks and months.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that just really concerned me. The school year was set to begin. This was a child who experiences some difficulties in school anyway. And so it just was really a difficulty in my heart. So I immediately began to pray. I had other people praying, asking that God would take away some of these symptoms he was experiencing. And over the course of days, we would see a little bit of improvement, but it didn't eliminate. And Matthew's, that's my son, his heart was just really, he was upset. Because the sweet ending of this is on a Saturday night, he said, "Mom, would you please take me to church tomorrow? And would you and some of the other prayers surround me and pray that God would take this sickness away?" The next morning, Sunday morning, I took him to church. We surrounded him, laid hands on him, and prayed. And immediately the nausea and the other troublesome symptoms were eliminated. Praise be to God.
Mm.
Yeah,
thank you, Lord. That's wonderful.
God is good.
He
God
is good.
Been faithful. And he eliminated the physical symptoms, but he also showed my son the power of prayer.
You're listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson, and we need to take a short break. Don't forget Live the Promise tomorrow, noon to 1, when my special guest will be Carol Kent. Carol has an amazing story of forgiveness and trust in God while her only son is in prison for life on a murder conviction. It's a gripping story. Join me tomorrow, Saturday, on the same Faith Radio station. My guest today is Jennifer Kennedy Dean, and we'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back. This is Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson, and my great guest today is author, Bible teacher Jennifer Kennedy Dean, talking about her new book and Bible study, Live a Praying Life. Open your life to God's power and provision. Before the break, Jennifer, we had Ann on the line, and you had something you wanted to add.
Ann's story was so, it was a great story. I love the way that God enters into the lives of our children in a way that is going to indicate to them and show them who he is. But there might be someone listening to Ann's story who had a child who had some difficulty similar and prayed and prayed and prayed that God would make everything right, and that is not how it worked out. And that person might be listening and feeling discouraged because they might be saying, well, I don't know, I didn't do it right. But you see, God is going to bring that healing and provision in the way that in the final outcome, as life works itself all the way out, is going to be the most effective way for your child to see his power. So let's say that we had something just exactly like Ann described, except that the condition that she wanted to God to heal didn't get healed, and he had to go on and struggle with some of those things in school. What you can be assured is that that is God's yes for your child. He is teaching your child something so valuable that is going to add so much to his life that he could not learn any other way, and it's trusting God, not believing in an outcome.
And it's so important. I know that your story, even with your brother, that you had many people praying for him, and he actually experienced a healing, mm-hmm. but then he died a year later.
Yeah.
I remember reading a story about someone who was sick, and the speaker was called in, who was a friend of the sick man. He came in, and he said he walked into the prayer room, and all these people were praying different things. He said, you know, some were like, heal him in Jesus' name, and others are like, you know, let it be quick so he doesn't suffer. And he's like, I'm imagining God up there rubbing his temples going, which prayer should I answer?
Yeah.
And but he got along with the Lord, and he said, I want to get the mind of Christ.
Uh-huh.
You know, what are you doing here? And the Lord really spoke to his heart and said, this is going to be unto my glory, but I'm taking him home. And he went and held his friend's hand and said, have a good death. And people got mad at him, but he said, the peace that came on this sick man, because all this pressure for him to believe he's going to get better, when God hadn't given him permission to believe that for himself. And I loved what you said in your book about the power of agreement, and that we are not called to agree with each other.
Uh-huh.
We're called to agree with God, and that we can actually deceive ourselves if we all gather together for a cause and tell God what he's going to do, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And then this is why we have to understand prayer. We have to wrestle with the hard questions about prayer, because if we don't understand it, there are so many moments in life when the whole process is confusing and it doesn't have to be. And sometimes it works out like that, like your friend described, again, that the Lord just settles on your heart, this is the way I want you to pray. And you just know that. It drops in and it fits, and whether it was the way you wanted to do it or not, you get that. Sometimes you pray right up to the very end and you still don't have a clarity on, for example, how God is going to heal. If he heals in a way that is eternal as a response to prayers for healing, that is the best healing. And other things that we pray about and we have a certain way we think they just should work out, this is the way, of course, God wants it to be. But God is working out a bigger picture than we can see, and that's why you begin to learn how to transfer your faith from an outcome that you prescribe to the God who is in charge.
That is so good. Whenever I hit those walls where I feel like I've got my finger on something that he's not giving, I always have to sit back and say, ultimately, you get to decide. You get to decide, Lord. Well, we've got Elaine, who's been waiting very patiently on the line to give a comment or a story, and she's from White Bear. Elaine, thank you so much for your patience, and welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
I was driving down the road, and I heard your comment about the answer to prayer, and over a year ago, my husband lost his job of 28 years, and when he lost that, we lost our life insurance, health insurance, everything. And then for 13 months, we went without income. And during those times, our marriage and our with God and our strength with God changed so completely. And for the times, every time when Mark would go to interviews and it wasn't his turn, and I always thought, well, God, you know the time, and you know the time we need. And we always hung on to Isaiah, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And we just clung to that as husband and wife, because he knew everything we needed, but it was in his timing and not ours. And now he got a job in June, and things are so much better.
Mm.
And for all the hurt and all the times that we couldn't figure out God's plans, it was just, I wouldn't change it for the moment, not to go back and experience what we did.
Oh, Elaine, I just am choked up listening to you, and I know Jennifer will say the same thing, and I'll let her chat with you about that in a minute, but I just have to say, that kind of faith and that kind of sacrifice of trust is so beautiful in the eyes of God. It truly is worth more than gold, and I'm sure, Jennifer, you want to speak into it as well.
Yes, Elaine, and I just, as I'm listening to that, I'm just thinking how that's in the middle of that, it looks like, everything looks like a disaster. When you come out on the other side of it, you see that everything you went through was necessary for the bigger thing he's putting together. And so I'm so glad to hear that, if you give God an inch, he'll take a mile. Mm-hmm. He's just going to squeeze all the healing out of everything that he can. And just that you let that time enrich you so. And so, now God puts the pieces back together, and you have something that you could not have had any other way.
Boy, that's beautiful. Let's talk, Jennifer, about giving God a timeline, because here's yet another area where we set ourselves up to fall, I think. We fast and we pray and we tell God we want to see a breakthrough in our marriage by Monday.
Yes.
Now I know there's something to be said about fasting and praying that God will show up at our event this weekend, but to me that's so different than pointing to a desired outcome and then giving God a deadline, wouldn't you say?
Oh, exactly. And I think you're right that is where so many people get discouraged, because we live in a microwavable world, you know, and everything happens in a few seconds. God is always about process, you know, and so let's say you're praying over your marriage and you can be really sure that God wants your marriage healed and restored, but you think, now, in 3 days from now, when my mother comes to visit, I want all this fixed, and, you know, and what God is saying to you is, quit looking at everything that needs to be fixed in your husband or your spouse. Quit looking at everything that needs to be smoothed out in your life, and let's just take a look at you. Let's take a look at you and see what this situation is bringing to the surface that you need to surrender. that you need to lay your flesh down. Let's just look at you. And it's not an instant process, and it's not about fixing stuff. It's about purifying you. And from purity comes power. From purity comes that happiness that God has ingrained in us to desire. So it's that timeline stuff giving God a deadline that causes us to run into disappointing circumstances over and over again and think that prayer didn't do any good.
And which weakens our faith then, because I know I've known so many people where they, and I'm sure I've done this in my earlier years of my faith, but where you give God a weekend or a deadline, he doesn't come through the way you think he should, and then you're weakened and disillusioned with the whole idea of prayer and faith, but we weren't praying on his terms to begin with.
See, if you're thinking that there is some kind of a formula that will give you the key to how you can get God on your agenda,
good luck with that.
It is never going to happen. That is not what prayer is about. And it would be very disappointing if that is how prayer works, because what if God always did the best thing you could think of? Well, that would be a great letdown, because he's going to do the best thing he can think of.
Amen.
And no matter how good a thing you can think of, he's going to do something immeasurably more. So it wouldn't even be to your benefit for prayer to be a way to get God to do what you think he should do when you think he should do it.
I know. Since when did getting what we want when we want it ever help our character anyway? What kind of father would he be, really?
Yeah.
I want it now.
Yes.
Okay. Well, if you just tuned in, this is The Promise. I'm Susie Larson. We're talking to Jennifer Kennedy Dean about her great new Bible study, Live a Praying Life. Open your life to God's power and provision. Jennifer, this isn't actually a new Bible study. It's a new revised anniversary version. What was the original title?
It's always been called Live the Praying Life. Really, when I first wrote it years and years ago, it was a tiny little book, and it was called The Praying Life, Living Beyond Your Limits. But for 10 years, it's been in Bible study form called Live a Praying Life. But I remember I was laughing the other day, because when I wrote that little book, I thought, well, this is it. I have written everything there is to understand about a praying life. And all these years
and
later.
And God's up there giving you a belly laugh, right?
it's bigger, and I could write a volume, too, by now.
Wow, I love it. Well, again, like I said, it's absolutely my favorite topic. I want to touch on, I'm going to dare into some deep waters here that we may get some comments on, but I want to talk about the issue of healing.
Okay.
And I'll give you my opinion on healing, and I want to hear yours. You know, God says, by his stripes we are healed. My son had a severe back injury at age 17. He had took a late hit in football, had herniated disc pressing on three sets of nerves, and they were waiting for him to lose control of his bowels. It was a terrible injury. And we, through some terrible pain and doctoring and body brace and all this, and really trusting the Lord, there's a long story there, but we just started to thank the Lord by faith, because we felt that God had given us permission to believe him for a miracle. And he was miraculously healed at a youth group one night. I mean, miraculous. He could barely walk one day and was sprinting with the football team the next day. I, on the other hand, still deal daily with some very significant health issues left over from the Lyme disease. I'm praying every day and believing God. And I look at Psalm 103, 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord and forget not his benefits. He forgives all my sins, heals all my diseases, ransoms my life from the pit, crowns me with love and compassion, satisfies my desires with good things, and renews my youth like the eagles. I pray that, and I still believe someday I will see it. But I've had two mentors die of cancer who were God-fearing people. They were not lacking faith.
Yeah.
In fact, one said, the Lord will take me when he gets more glory from my death than he does from my life.
Oh, that's the way to look at it.
I don't get the healing thing, and I don't believe that we can name it and claim it, and every single person gets healed, and those who don't are lacking faith. I just don't. I don't understand it. I don't have my arms around it, but I know that God is good. But I do know if we erred more on the side of faith, we would see more miracles like my son has seen. So tell me what you think.
Yeah, first of all, 100% agree with every single thing you said. But because of this particular topic that is my passion, I am in conversation with people about such things all the time. So I know that prayer for healing is an area where many, many people are right now struggling to come to terms with someone you love is gravely ill, and what does faith look like in that moment? Or some of you are feeling actual guilt because someone died, and you're thinking, if only I had had more faith. And so we really do need to wrestle with it. And let me quickly say that at prayinglife.org, under prayer FAQ, there is a pretty extensive paper on prayer for healing. Now, let me say this. I believe that you will always get a yes to prayer for healing, but you must leave it open for what that yes looks like. And when you grasp that, prayer is going to activate all the power and provision of God in that circumstance. That is what it's going to do. It's not going to make everything turn out the way you thought it should. That's not the promise. The promise is that the power and provision of God is going to move in full force through your prayers into the circumstances of earth. God has the ability to heal a body and restore it to its perfect health, and he sometimes does that. But when prayer ends up with, like something like you, Susie, with a chronic and ongoing condition, it's not that he's not healing, it's that he's healing at another level. And when that healing is finished, then he'll the physical part is the simplest part of all. If he heals with an eternal healing, as he did with my brother, which was and believe me, until he took his last breath, we did not believe he would die. That, you know, there was no wavering of faith in that situation. My husband passed away 5 years ago. Hundreds and thousands of people were praying for his healing. By that time, I had come to a place where I understood that I could leave what healing looked like up to God, and it would still be healing. And by the force of prayer, if a physical restoration was the best outcome, that's what prayer would have produced. If one more day on earth was the best outcome, that's what prayer would have produced. So I pray without any reservation for healing because I know you're going to get it. I just don't know what it's going to look like.
100% agree with you. And I have to say, I'm not the same since I've been walking out the scripture in faith. I've got an inner strength where I used to have a major inner fear where, the Lord even told me a number of years ago, if I healed you now, you'd lose it because your mind is not renewed. You're so used to thinking like a sick person. So I'm not the same person as I was when I started to walk out this healing. So I love what you're saying and agree completely. We do need to take a short break.
Okay.
This is Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. We're talking to Jennifer Kennedy Dean. She's got a lot of great studies. We'll give her website at the end of the show. Today we're talking about living a praying life, letting it be a way of life. I'm so glad you tuned in. More great conversation ahead in just a moment.
Knowing God and making Him known is what we try to do each and every day on A New Beginning. Hi, I'm Pastor Greg Laurie, and you hear our broadcast every weekday at 1 p.m. on the Faith Radio Network. Now, we're grateful for the many of you who support our broadcast on a regular basis, and we're also thankful for your support of Faith Radio. You know, connecting faith to everyday life is more than the slogan to the Faith Radio team. It's their passion. And your prayer and financial partnership with them makes it all possible. So let me just say thank you for listening and supporting A New Beginning, and thank you for standing prayerfully and financially with Faith Radio. Find out how you can make a difference for Christ through Faith Radio at their website, faithradionet.com. That's faithradionet.com. And then you can join me for A New Beginning weekdays at 1 p.m.
We're back, and I'm so glad you tuned in today. We have a very important topic we're discussing, and that is prayer, the praying life. We're talking to Jennifer Kennedy Dean. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, and I'd love for you to visit our website and go to faithradionet.com. Go to our show's webpage, and you can check us out. There's archives of our past shows, and this show will be up there on the day that it airs. So be sure to tune in and get a podcast. Send it to your friends because we've got some great dialogue going on here. Well, Jennifer, you warn against a prayerless prayer life, and I know lots of people listening probably keep prayer lists. So are you saying you're opposed to prayer lists? Or maybe you can clarify what you mean there.
Yeah. And I am not opposed to prayer lists. It's just that, again, you have to get them into perspective. If your prayer list is a to-do list for God, then it's going to be it's going to look to you like, okay, you're going to say, God said yes to this, no to this, no to this, no to this, yes to this, no to this, no to this, no to this. So that kind of a prayerless prayer life is going to leave you with the belief about prayer that it only works occasionally. Now, if you use your prayer list to, you write it down and you go, this is the date that I surrendered this to the purposes and the plans of God, knowing that He is faithful and He is working it out according to an eternal agenda. This is the day it became His and not mine. Then you go back and you look at that and you go, oh, wow, look what has transpired since that day. And instead of it being a list of hits and misses. Does that make a little bit
Absolutely.
Sense?
Absolutely. And I have to say, you know, for me, prayer lists suddenly become, again, a list of to-dos for me as well. I've tried them over the years, but just when I go to my quiet time, I set out my commentaries, my several versions of the Bible. I prop up my iPhone and my devotional playlist, song list, you know, and I hold my cup of coffee and I put on some music and I put my head back and I just wait on God. And what for me, what's worked for me is the Lord knows all these things I care about, human trafficking, poverty, my community, my boys, you know, all the different things. And what I've just, for me, I'm just saying this works for me, where I just go with the ebb and the flow of the Spirit. As you know, there's certain days I intercede like crazy for Africa. Other days it's for my sons and their future wives. And sometimes it's for church or for this station or whatever it is, the purposes of God. But for me, then it just starts to feel so natural, so supernaturally natural. He's breathing life in me and I'm responding to what He's telling me to pray about. So for me, that's what's really worked. And I feel like I get a lot done in my prayer times as I wait on God. What about you?
Exactly. Oh, that is so perfect, because here's when we get tied up in knots about doing prayer right. So you've heard stories about old saintly Mrs. So-and-so who had a shoebox full of prayer requests, and she prayed through them 10 times every day. And you know what? That may be exactly how God called her to do intercession, but that doesn't translate into that's how He's called you to do intercession. So when you begin to realize that, first of all, every thought that floats through your mind has been in the presence of God, and he has the ability to stop it and make it flash in neon lights and grab your attention, because He's pulling you into the work of intercession for that topic on that day. But to let Him be the one who brings back to your mind and reminds you, and there's nothing wrong with writing things down so that they're there to remind you, but to feel like you must, that it's the way good people do, is to do a prayer list in a certain way. It is so delightful and restful when you do it just how you've described it, Susie, and let the Lord take your mind and direct it His way. Sometimes when people say to me, well, I have trouble with my quiet time because my mind wanders, I go, follow it.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
Well, I even think of my three sons and how completely different they are. One of them, you know, when he's home in town, he lives in Nashville, we go on long, long, long bike rides, right, as hard as we can till we're gasping for breath. Then we make a big salad. Then we sit on the deck, and he's got C.S. Lewis, and I've got some other book. And we sit, and we read, and then we pause, and we share quotes and different things and then insights, and it goes into some deep theological discussion.
Uh-huh.
My son Luke, he sits up on the counter and picks on his guitar and plays me songs he's written, and we start talking about the Lord that way. Uh-huh. My son Jordan, totally different. I've got to pull things out of him, but we've got to be in a certain place where we can sit and talk, and there's no other distractions. Uh-huh. Well, if that's true about my three sons, how much more so would it be for each of us as we approach God? And wouldn't He just delight in the way and the context in which we engage Him?
Exactly, precisely. You pray. God is reaching out to you in the context of the personality He's created for you.
Wow.
If I were to describe to you ways that God, you know, talks to me and gets my attention, you'd go, huh? And then if you were to tell me, I'd be thinking, okay, all right, don't get that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But God bless you.
It's God does not have a one-size-fits-all prayer program. He has a relationship.
Love that. You and I both love Ian Bounds, and here's another quote from him. It is not great talents or great learning or great preachers that God needs, but men and women great in holiness, great in faith, great in love, great in fidelity, great for God. Mm-hmm. These can mold a generation for God. The church is looking for better methods. God is looking for better men and women. We've only got a few moments, but I just want you to dream with me, because your book, your Bible study, clearly states this, and I believe this with every fiber of my being. And I think D.L. Moody was the first to say it, but I don't think the world is yet to know. We can't even conceive what we can accomplish in prayer if we can get the mind of God and engage our whole soul. So tell me, you know, make the case for the listener of what, how heaven and earth are moved on behalf of our prayers.
Wow. That God loves us so much that he has put things together that it requires us being engaged through prayer for all of his power and provision to be released on the earth. And when and the power of a praying church, and at my website I have a thing called 1 Year Prayer Challenge, and I give you lots of free resources for how your church could commit a year focused on prayer, I think it would be the most amazing thing we have ever seen.
Well, I got this quote from your book, and it just gave me one of those Holy Spirit goosebump moments, but I'm going to read it and have you just speak to it. And this, I think, was a testimony that you put in the appendix titled The Fruit of Your Suffering, and it says this: at the places where I am broken, the power of Christ is authenticated in me for others. Where I have submitted to the crucifixion, the power of the resurrection is put on display. I can say, look at my wounds, touch my scars. I have death wounds, but I'm alive. I can wear my wounds without shame. They tell a resurrection story. And then you say, a praying life, a life lived in the flow of his power and provision, does not promise a life without pain. It promises life without knockout punches. And that's coming off the cusp of you describing the loss of your husband after 26 years of marriage. Yeah. How are you different now that you've come through the valley of that kind of suffering?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm almost to the 5-year mark, and I am only now beginning to come back to myself, to feel like myself. And I can't even begin to describe the ways that I have experienced the anointing and power and love of God that were always there, but there's something about crisis that brings it out into, like, you know, makes it so much more evident, as if it's putting it against a different background, and suddenly you see it more clearly. And the first illustration I began to see is 6 weeks after my husband died. I had my first speaking engagement, and I felt compelled that I needed to be there. And it was a pretty big speaking event, and I was just broken and mashed and couldn't finish a sentence without crying, and could not imagine how I was going to get on that stage and give a message, because I couldn't even hold a whole thought in my mind. But I walked up, and the minute my feet touched that stage, a physical feeling came over me, and I was just me, and I did what I do, and then I walked down, and I was just a wreck again. And the Lord said to me, that anointing has always been there. It's just more obvious now. And I began to, in ways like that, that the power and the provision and the protection of God has always been there, but suddenly against a different background, it is just amazing and breathtaking.
And he doesn't waste an ounce of our suffering, does he?
That's right. That's right.
Wow. Well, E.M. Bounds wrote this: prayer can do anything that God can do. And as we wrap up today, I would just love for you to say a prayer for the person who is stuck, who's prayer has become rote for them, but they're desperate for what you're talking about. Would you wrap up and pray, and then I'll close out the show.
In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you that the people who are listening right now are the people you have ordained. And if one of them is that hungry person who is stuck but desires to go on with you, this is your promise to them, that you are about to take them by the hand and lead them out of a prayer life and into a praying life. And so I just pray your power and provision into the life of that listener whose heart is calling out for more of you, in Jesus' name.
And Father, I would add to that prayer that we are in a day when we are desperate for an awakening of your power, of your presence, and your promises. So Lord, would you increase our capacity for you? Would you stir us up, Lord God, to love and good deeds? Would you help us understand your word in a way that makes us walk it out in a powerful way? Lord God, I thank you that you are ever-present help in time of trouble, and you've given us access to your throne, and we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you, and I thank you for the gift of God and Jennifer. We bless your name today, in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Jennifer, we just honor your ministry. Love for you to give our listeners your website.
PrayingLife.org.
PrayingLife.org. We'll have that up on our website. Well, we appreciate your ministry and all that you do for the kingdom, and we especially appreciate your willingness to be so real about your journey. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you, Susie. My pleasure.
Well, you were appointed to be here with us today. You are appointed to walk the earth for such a time as this. We need supernatural assistance to thrive powerfully in these latter days. And remember this, for the person who walks with God, prayer is a powerful weapon. The prayer of a righteous man or woman accomplishes great and powerful things. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of this interview up on our website at faithradionet.com. So glad you tuned in today. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He is the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a blessed day.